We'd like to greet you this morning in Jesus' precious name. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for your prayers. It's nice to know that you're being prayed for. So I can't ask you if you prayed for this service, because you should have. A friend of mine sent me this Happy Shavuot. So I say Happy Shavuot. Do you know what Happy Shavuot means? Anyone?
Is that like Happy Saturday?
What?
Happy Saturday?
No. This is a very special day. No one knows. Yes. So let the Spirit descend. That's today. Today is Pentecost. I think I shared with you this before, but this is special to me. This is from my father-in-law's garage. And you have to understand that my father-in-law was not always a faithful Christian. I'd say in the last 5 or 6 years of his life, he found the Lord in a right way, and repented of his sins. And whenever we went to visit him, we always talked about God the last 5 or 6 years of his life. But that showed up in his garage wall after that. And to me, that's kind of special. So I made sure I captured it, because he believed in God and believed in the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down and now indwells in each one who believes in Jesus Christ. And that's special, because that's God in us. And if we do not have God in us, we'd be lost. We would lose direction. Jesus said the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to comfort us and to direct us or lead us. And my prayer is that each one of you are experiencing that experience. This past week, I didn't know what I was going to share. And I kind of went through some history, or reminisced a little bit. And I came across this. And I realized that the center of the book of the Bible is Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Revelation. And my cry is that the devil is trying very hard to destroy and to distort truth. I came across this thought that, you know, we have what you call the ABCs of the Bible, and that is, you know, always believe Christ. You always want to believe Christ. Whatever Christ said, believe it. The thing is, Christ lived in a way that helped us see how we should be in our walk of life. Thank you, Art. Just to give you a little bit of an understanding of what I'm trying to say, do you know that we are in Pride Month? Mm-hmm. Do you know we're in Pride Month? And I just told you that the devil likes to distort or delete or destroy God. Let me ask this question. How many colors are in the rainbow? How many colors are in the rainbow? Seven. If I wrote them down here, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. How many are in the Pride Rainbow? Six. It's a distortion. I met a person this past week. He says he loves rainbows, but he doesn't put any rainbows out because of what it could represent now. Do you know what the rainbow represented when it came with Noah? It represents, right, God will never flood the earth. It's a promise. It's a promise of God. And the devil's trying to distort that promise by doing what he's doing. And we need to know what truth is so that we don't get distorted with the way the devil's trying to destroy us. I came across, as I said, I'm reminiscing, and that is, there's three things that you cannot recover in life. And I'm giving this as a challenge or as a thought to you. And I needed this just as much as anybody. There's three things that you cannot recover in life, and that is a word after it is spoken. If you say something, you can't bring it back. And I think I'd like to challenge you on this aspect, and that is, think before you speak. In James it says that the tongue is unruly and cannot be controlled by us. God can do it, and we need to ask God to help us to do that. But the next time you say something to someone and you're aggravated or stressed out or whatever, remember, if you say something, you can't bring it back. It's gone. Another thing that we cannot recover is a moment after it is missed. There's different times in my life I thought, I met someone, and after they left, I thought, ouch, I should have said this, or I should have gave this encouragement, I can't change it. It's gone. That opportunity is missed. For parents, I will say, I messed up from the standpoint, I don't think I encouraged my children as much as I should have. But if you have children, do that. Give them encouragement. You know, give them say, that was a good job. Or, you know, say, thank you for thinking, or thank you for doing that, or thank you for saying that, or whatever. It's moments that are gone. You can't change them. Another thing is, and that is time. Taking time for good things. If time goes by, it's gone. I can't bring it back. So those are three things that we cannot recover in life. And this is, this thought here is what I like to stimulate you on this aspect. How do we grow in God? I'm not going to write on the board, but G-R-O-W. The way you grow with God, this is a daily thing. The first thing you need to do is you need to greet God. You need, every morning you should greet God. You should talk to God, greet him, say, Lord, thank you for this new day. Lord, thank you for the good night's sleep. Just have this connection with God. That's how you grow in your Christian life. The way that you can grow is you take time to read his word. So we greet him, we read his word, and then you observe or obey what you read. And the fourth thing, which I have not done very well on, and that is write out the verse that means something special to you. So you greet, you read, obey, and write. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, you do those four things, and it'll be an asset. So, the other thing, this past week, I'm shifting gears back here to the rainbow again. There's seven colors. And do you know that the number seven is an awesome number. It's my favorite number. If you don't know it, it's been that way for years. That's why my phone number is 7777. And I tell people said, like, wow, that's a lucky number. I said, no, I said, it's in memory of my son. And they look at me like, memory of your son? I said, well, God blessed us with a Down syndrome. And I said, I was getting a phone number over that time, and I asked them if I could pick a number. And they said, well, if you have a handicapped child, you can do that. And they gave me a list, and I picked out those sevens. I said, that's the number I want. So every time I give out my number, I think of Justin. And to me, it's special. And so seven means complete. It means perfection. We have 7 days. We have there's seven statements at the cross, if you didn't know it. There's the seven churches in Revelation. There's the seven spirits of God. There's the seven lamps. God created the earth in 7 days. There's seven feasts. There's seven trumpets. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And after a while, you start thinking, is God a God of numbers? I think he might be. He is detailed above and beyond what we can comprehend. And I would like, someone sent me a message that I needed to listen to. I listened to, and it was like a wow message to me. It kind of stimulated me to where we're going. And I'm not sure if you ever heard of Robert Breaker. I never heard of him before. But he gave this message, and I would encourage, you're welcome to check it out. He's on YouTube. It says, Jesus must be coming soon. And it's like, wow. And he went through a sequence of events from the standpoint of signs, of numbers, feasts, the whole list. And it made me think that, you know what? This guy seems to know what he's talking about. He used scripture. And I'm not here to argue with him, because I do believe that Jesus is coming soon. But he put the word must be coming soon because of all the sequence. And I'm not here to give you his message. But I do like to go to 2 Timothy. And there's it says in 2 Timothy 2, I like to read these verses. It says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of bearers' hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I guess the thing that stood out to me after listening to that message is, do I really seek? Am I really seeking the truth? Do I really want to know? And I would like, if you could all turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and I've said this over and over again, that God's people are known as Sermon on the Mount people. In other words, they don't just read it, they live it. And I'm thinking that we have to make sure that we are living it. I'd like to begin reading Matthew 6, begin reading at verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out thy mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even to every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, just Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. This morning, the question I guess I'd like to ask you, are you truly seeking truth? Are we really seeking? Are we really wanting to know what the Bible, what God wants us to know and live? The In Matthew 6:32, we read, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I really wonder, we are caught up in verse 19, where we got caught up in things. I was made to think that we have people who, they love the world, they seek these things. They usually are selfish people. It's not hard to figure out that they're evil. And also they are, I don't use this word very often, but it's egotistic, I think it's called. And this word here is another word that I don't use very often. It's knave. So when a person is selfish, they're usually greedy and they're wrapped up in themselves, which is very understandable. I remember as a teenager, and you ran around with young fellows, and there was individuals that seemed like you can never outdo them. They always had the biggest, the most powerful car, or the best this or the best that. And those are the kind of people we kind of walked away from because they were all wrapped around themselves. Anyway, when you think of evil, we were talking about Satan, or anti-God. That's what evil people are. And then egotistic, they are boastful, they're proud, they're just arrogant people. And knave, it's a swindler, someone who's dishonest, someone who lies, you cannot trust. But people who love the world, when they love the world, that's their characteristics. But what I was hoping that we could understand the most important thing is people that love God. How do we know when a person loves God? When they truly want to seek the truth. I have two different acronyms. One is how can I say this? When we are seeking the kingdom of God, we are people. Well, let's turn to 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3:18. A person who's truly seeking God. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. A person who loves God and is seeking will serve. They will serve other people. That's a true seeker. They will be serving not for their selfish interests, but for God's good and glory. A person, if you go to 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians 5. These next two words are pretty much the same. Pretty close to it anyway. Now it's 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It reads like this. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you do also. And what I put there was a person who sees God will encourage. Is that spelt right? This one, I'm not the best speller. My grandson told me that the other day, and I have to acknowledge that. But when we are true seekers of God, we're going to be serving people. We're going to be encouraging people. We're also, if we go to Hebrews 13:3, it says here, Hebrews 3:13, says, "But exhort one another daily while you while it is today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And as you can see, the words are not self-centered. They're giving. And I've said this over and over many times. There's two types of people in this world. There's givers and there's takers. And there's only two kingdoms. And it doesn't take a mathematician to figure out which one goes to which. Because God is totally giving to everyone. And Satan is always taking from everybody. Because Satan is a liar and a father of it. And he is likened to throw things at people and say, well, if you do this, you'll get this. But the thing is, when we are living for self over here, it's going to destroy us. We need to be living for God and being emptied of self. Then the last one is Ephesians 4:36. It reads like this. I'm sorry, Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And it's very simple. A person is kind to other people. So if my cry is to you is, am I truly seeking truth? Do I have these characteristics? Am I a serving person? Do I love God with my whole heart, soul, and mind? And we read here in Matthew, the idea was we also are to love others the way we're to be treated, and that's the golden rule. And so this is what God wants from us. He wants us to be seeking the kingdom. He wants us to being a serving, encouraging, edifying, kind person. And the only way we can make that happen is we have to be the next seek. We have to be surrendered. We have to be empty of self. We have to be ethical or honest. And we have to keep God first. There's a reason why I say God is everything, because if you don't have God as first, something else will be in its place. That's what's going to happen. I have a poem here that kind of, if we truly seek God, we are going to find Jesus Christ. The poem here is a theme of the Bible. It says, I find my Lord in the Bible wherever I chance to look. He is the theme of the Bible, the center and heart of the book. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is a lily fair. Wherever I open my Bible, the Lord of the book is there. He at the book's beginning gave the earth its form. He is the ark of shelter, bearing the brunt of the storm. The burning bush at the desert, the budding of Aaron's rod. Wherever I look in the Bible, I see the Son of God. The ram upon Mount Moriah, the ladder from earth to sky. The scarlet cord in the window, and the serpent lifted high. The smitten rock in the desert, the shepherd with staff and crook. The face of my Lord I discover wherever I open the book. He is the seed of the woman, the Savior virgin born. He is the Son of David, whom men rejected with scorn. His garments of grace and of beauty, the stately Aaron deck. Yet he is a priest forever, for he is Melchizedek. Lord of eternal glory, whom John the apostle saw. Light of the golden city, Lamb without spot or flaw. Bridegroom coming at midnight, for whom the virgins look. Wherever I open the Bible, I find my Lord in the book. My question is he special to you that you're seeking his will, his favor, his love by obeying what he tells you to do? Coming back to the fact that Jesus must be coming soon. I really think he is. I mean, my great-grandparents talked about Jesus coming, and everybody talked about Jesus coming. But it's closer now than it ever was. And The Bible has never been proven wrong, because when God said it, it will happen. And the cry I'm asking is, I think the devil would like to get us distorted, deceived, disgruntled, whatever you want to say, to get you your focus off of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, he has you. My cry is that time is short. Jesus must be coming soon with everything we're seeing. And I think the greatest thing that we could do is to make sure that we are seeking truth and we know the truth. Now, with that being said, I want to throw out a little warning. I have a concern about people who get so dogmatic in an issue. I've said this about premillennials and all millennials, because I remember being at Numidia, and I had these boys that were fighting each other verbally, discussing their opposite views, and I walked away. It didn't make sense to me why these fine young men were arguing over this issue. I went out to my bishop, it was David Wadle, and I said to him, I told him what was going on. He said, "John, stay out of it." He said, it produces more heat than light. And I did. And as I grew up and I taught the youth boys, they wanted to know if I was a pre or an all, and I said, neither. I said, I believe the Bible. And then I gave them the story. I said, when Jesus came the first time, there was people who said, he's got to come this way, and then those people that said, they got to come this way, and they were dog set, they were tenacious, I think the word is, in their ideas. And I said, both of those groups of people missed it. But I said, the people that were open and honest and sincere to truth found the Lord. And that's where I want to be. I want to be open and honest to truth, because I want the Lord to be a part of my life. And my encouragement to you is, let's seek truth. Let's have the characteristics. The only way you're going to do that is you have to be surrendered, you have to be empty of self, you have to be honest, and you have to keep God first. As I came through this message, there was a song that I told Art about. I called him this morning, and I think I'd like to have him sing that song at this time. And thank you. Maybe before I sit down, maybe you just have any questions. I'm not saying I have the answers, but I do want you to grow. I want you to greet Jesus, greet God every day. I want you to read his word. I want you to obey his word. And I want you to write a verse down. It'll help you grow in a closer walk with God. Anyone? Art?
I was thinking that if a person thinks that Jesus is coming before, let's say before the rapture, or another person thinks, before the tribulation, one person thinks that Jesus is coming before the tribulation, another person thinks that Jesus is coming during the tribulation, another person thinks that he's coming after the tribulation. Would it be a good idea, at least for Christians, to understand these positions, like to discuss it in a healthy way, I guess, that we can, okay, oh, this is the position that you have, okay, and why do you say that? Well, because this, that, the other, okay. And at least have some, you know, knowledge, I guess, of why it could be this position or the other one, instead of nobody knowing nothing about the subject.
I believe that the Lord will take care of us one way or another. And I know that people have used, you know, God took Lot out of Sodom before he destroyed it. And I say amen to that. And I know that I remember Abner. Abner said he feels that the Lord will come, he won't touch the earth, but he will come down and people will rise with him and go off. But then when he comes a second time, then he will judge the earth. And I would lean toward Abner's thinking, but I don't want to be so dogmatic saying that's the only way. I mean, my cry is that when we become tenacious in an idea, we can sometimes do more damage. Because let me put it this way. Okay. We don't know what's within the year here. We don't even know what's next, or what tomorrow is. But we do know, we must be knowing the truth that we know that God is there. God will take care of us. But we need to make sure that we're connected to God so that he can lead us by his Spirit and what we should and what we shouldn't do. That's my, but that spirit has to line up with truth. Because the Bible says, try the spirits whether they're of God or not. And the only way we know that is by they line up with truth. The other Sunday, I was blessed by what Art said. Excuse me, Art. But he made the comment, and it stuck to me, because he said, as he's getting older or maturing, correct me if I'm wrong. I know he will. But his interest is knowing truth. Knowing truth. And to me, that is what seeking is all about. We need to seek the truth. And when we are truly seeking truth, and we are honest and we are humble, God will lead us. God will help us. Because there's people that think the next step is the trumpet sound. And I just shared this with my wife here this morning. I said, there's a lot of people, let me back up. When our previous president came into office, I, tongue in cheek, said, the Bible says, when the trump sounds, the Lord cometh. Okay? I made that statement quite a few times. Well, the interesting thing is what we've gone through, it has put a lot of people into like, whoa, he's awesome. And I think it's dangerous. Because when we put our confidence in a man rather than God, it's like the devil is trying to distort or disrupt or get us off focus of our life, our hope is in Jesus Christ. It's not in a man, it's not in a country, but it's in Jesus Christ. And if we put our focus on Jesus Christ, I know that God will make a way for us. Does that answer your question?